Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Brenton Cliff Fleet Circus in 2022. My name is Cliff.
Hello, I'm Brett. Are you sure 2022, not 2021?
I'm pretty sure.
We had this conversation last year. I didn't know what year it was.
Well, it is. I mean, it's a fact. It's 2022.
Is it? It's a fact.
Actual fact. In actual fact, Brett, it's 2022.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. Well, Happy New Year. Did you happy do anything New for New Year?
So it's been a couple of weeks since we spoke to each other, hasn't it? Because we did that two-parter of Get Back, which has been quite well received. It's in a sea of Get Back podcasts, so a lot of which I've tried to listen to. But I think we offer a different perspective in that we're not nerds.
that's true. That is definitely true.
But there's been some great ones I'll talk about in a bit, actually. But I'm okay. New Year. I sat exactly here. We had a couple of friends around who've got twins. So there was twins, 16-month-old twins, and Pearl, who's two. That was a lot, to be honest. I'm not keen on repeating that. I don't think we'll have them back.
Thanks for your time.
Nothing wrong with them whatsoever. They did nothing wrong. They're just twins, aren't they? Like, it's a lot. The mom was going, obviously, I've got lots of like CDs on shelves and books on shelves, and we've got bits and pieces like knickknacks and keepsakes, just like sitting around on stuff. And the thing is with Pearl, very tidy. She like me. She doesn't want to make a mess. She doesn't want to pull stuff and put it all over the floor. She doesn't want to open drawers and take everything out of it and all of that stuff. So, but these, again, nothing wrong with it, but these lasses, the two little twins, were into everything. They're in a new place, right? They haven't been there before. So they're in a new place. They're exploring. That's what little toddlers do. And the mom was going, you haven't got a very baby-friendly house, have you? Fucking friendly enough for our kid, by the way.
What do you do? We'll put cushions all over the place and that.
I mean, I had put out like nails on the top of the table, when you used to walk to school and there was like glass, glass just concreted to the top of high walls.
You can remember when I told you about that priest who nicked me bike?
Yeah.
Well, he had the very same thing on top of his
fence. Did he concrete the glass on?
With concrete? I remember that. Yeah.
Like, I've broken up a load of bottles and I put them on.
God, it's lamp and burglar grease.
It's not priestly behaviour, that is it?
That is not priestly behaviour. And then he stole me bike. Shocking. Hey, now you mentioned that. Can remember, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but can remember when I went around your house once and I accidentally kicked all your CDs all over that were in alphabetical order?
Bastard.
It was only an accident. They were teetering.
Well, Brett, I had forgotten about it, but I'm gonna have to abort this podcast now.
It's another black mark against me, Neil, isn't it? That's terrible.
In your defence, they were teetering. You're right.
They were teetering. They weren't very Brett friendly. that house wasn't Brett friendly. No,
it wasn't Brett friendly, was it?
Definitely wasn't. No.
You need more protection than the toddlers, to be honest.
I do. I did do one thing over Christmas and New Year, and that was I ate a lot of custard, which was very nice.
Custard? Out of the jars? Tins? Sorry?
No, I used to eat custard just out of the tin when I was a kid. But I had a lot of custard, a lot of desserts, which I don't normally have, you see.
No, you're not very sweet tooth.
Apple crumbles.
You're not a sweet tooth man, are you?
I'm not. So, but that was nice doing that. But New Year's, it's a bit shit, New Year, isn't it?
It is a bit crap, isn't it? So we had those around and they left about 9, or maybe they left about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And we spent an hour after that just getting ready for bed.
Yeah. So,
and we came out onto this very balcony at like 11:45, and I poured a drink for us both. We watched, there was fireworks we could see on the coast. There was a couple of fireworks displays that we can see from here. And at 12:15, we got ready. We went to bed as we had already pre-prepared for it, which,
I was in bed as well, actually. Can I ask, Cliff, were you dressed as the universe then as well?
I was not. But what do you think of this? I've got me cosmic onesie on.
Cosmic onesie? Is that how it was described in the catalogues?
I don't know. Well, I got it for Christmas. It's my best Christmas present, yeah.
It's a good one.
You know, like, we were just having a bit chat before, but, we were saying, I've not had a good day. I've not had a good week. Various reasons. My mum and dad aren't very well with the COVID, and that's a bit worrying when I'm over here, you know, like there's not much I can do. I'm sure they'll be okay.
Yep.
You've offered to help and go around and do what they can. Dad, if you're listening when this comes out, I hope you're feeling better by then. I wish there was more I could do to help both of you. But it's one of those things that when you're away from home, when you move away, this is one of the things that hits you, you know, like there's lots of good things. Mm-hmm. About being in a different country and making your own way in the world and all of that. But when something bad happens back home, it really like gets to you that you're not there, you know? Especially whereas maybe normally 3 years ago, I might've gone, you know what? I'm going to go home for a bit then. But at the moment with the COVID restrictions and all of that, it's not as easy. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the shit things about being away. But what it's meant is, one, I'm a bit pissed.
Good.
I've had I've had a bit of a bad day. I've nothing massively wrong. I was just saying before, just one of those days. You're not having a great day. Yeah. So I've done some comfort stuff.
Ooh.
Trying to comfort myself.
You've dressed as the universe.
I've got the universe on.
Yes.
Two, I ordered a lovely chicken burger for me dinner. Got delivered.
Chicken burger?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm not a fan of chicken burgers.
Well, you're the one fucking espousing the greatness of KFC a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I get the buckets now.
You know what? I like fried chicken, but I do not want to touch it.
Well, you must.
And that's why bread's invented, right? That's why bread's invented.
You only touch it with bread.
As long as there's a bread buffer.
What you do?
On a bread,
you
buffer.
Grab it in the bread. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
You weirdo.
So I had that for me dinner at work.
I love all that.
I've had a few pints after work. I've got my universe onesie on.
Yes.
And I haven't had any tea. That's dinner.
So you're a bit
for anyone posh. but I've had a lovely.
But I've now to soak it up.
Lovely bag of crisps.
Far from that chicken chicken sandwich.
I had a lovely bag of crisps and I mean a big bag.
Well, not fun size.
No. Do you get fun size crisps?
You do these days. Have you not seen the Space Raiders? Absolute disgrace.
Are they fun size?
They might as well be.
Like a hula hoop?
Everything's smaller now. There's like 4 Space Raider crisps in the packet these days. Absolutely terrible.
If you get a bag of Transformer snacks...
Yes,
do you even get the full vehicle?
I doubt you do. I never knew that you could transform those snacks.
I mean, the thing is, you can't. You know, those wheels. That's the thing. Those wheels do not fit on those arms.
What a weird thing, though, isn't it? Why would you want to fit crisps together? What's all that about?
To transform. Who invented that? Into a mega crisp.
And then what you meant to do it after you've had your scruffy hands all over it? Do you know what I mean?
Imagine if there was a team of mechanics trying to put it together.
Try to do it on Blue Peter or something like that, wouldn't they? They definitely have a go at that. Hey, Cliff, I'm going to send you a picture, right? It's off Facebook, the marketplace, because you know how I like the marketplace.
Well, you're a dab hand at it.
I'm a dab hand at Facebook, the marketplace. But this was rather alarming, and I'm going to send it to you now. Tell us when you've got them. Just tell us when you've got them. Because there's two photos.
Something's beeped there, so I must have it on me. Brett messaged you.
Ugh. Ooh, yeah, I did. Right, I got it. So this is on Facebook, the marketplace. I was perusing, right, and I was having a little look. And as you've just said there, it's described as a large vintage wooden figure statue. £25 a snip. But the alarming thing about it is that it seems to be based on you. It looks exactly like you.
I have a little picture too, to be honest. You know what that is? I can't remember posing for this sculpture.
You can't remember? Well, you obviously have at some point. Oh,
but it's a lovely outfit.
It is a lovely outfit, a very oriental outfit.
I think we've got the same eyes.
Yes, I think it's the same eyes. I'm sure you've definitely had that haircut before, haven't you? That was on the hair chart that you did.
That was on the hair chart, yeah.
It was possibly number 6. but yes, I think I might purchase that. Do you think I should put an offer in?
Uh-huh. And what you could do is you could restore it, couldn't you?
I could, because he seems to be on the coke.
He's quite chipped.
He's quite chipped. He's been quite damaged over the years. As the oriental
Clifford
statue.
The nose and cheeks especially.
I know. I don't know
knees,
why.
The knees seem in quite good condition.
Quite good, Nick.
I don't know whether that means anything, but, you know. Listed 14 hours ago.
Well, it was when I took that picture.
It says in South Shields. Do we know where in South Shields? Can we pinpoint the area?
We can't track them down. I think I'd have to get in touch. Well, maybe. But yes, it's the spit and dip of you, isn't it? So yeah, I have to agree.
I think that's you've done well to spot that. If you didn't. Just make it up yourself for the very purposes of that.
No, I did. Well, I'll put it on what Twitter and I'll let people decide.
People
whether that's
who've never
it.
Seen us decide.
Well, I'll put a picture of you next to it now. So we'll let them decide whether it's a statuette of yourself.
Okay. Well, it's up to the listeners, I suppose.
It certainly is. Let them decide. I don't know if you keep an eye on this, but we've got a review on the old Apple podcast.
Oh, I didn't notice it. I do. I check every now and then. But
you check every now and then. So, and it's a good one. This one's not bemoaning your attitude or anything like that, Cliff. So,
so it's not by an old woman.
No, it's not. So this is it's entitled, Join Two New Friends for a Laugh. I stumbled across this podcast while searching for something else, but decided to give it a go because I liked the diverse mix of film and TV that had been discussed. I'm so glad that I did. Brett and Cliff are two old friends with great senses of humour and a love of TV, film and music from across the decades. Their infectious laughter and witty remarks have me chuckling out loud, and I often watch the shows and film they have discussed just to get the jokes that I missed. If you're undecided, give them a go. You'll be very pleasantly surprised how good this non-celebrity pair are at delivering a first-class show. Did you realise what a non-celebrity pay? I thought, what, in the top echelons of celebrity?
I thought at least I was a celebrity, but, you know.
So that's from Marky Don.
That is an absolutely lovely review. Like, that's brilliant, great, isn't it? Like, that's exactly what we hope people think. Not that we're not celebrities. One day,
you want people to think that we're all celebrities.
I mean, I always walk into a room as if I am. That's just one of one of my little lessons of life. Walk into every room as if I'm a celebrity.
Yes, but yes, that's very, very nice of Marky Don.
I think I've put that on my Instagram with a picture of Marilyn Monroe, but just with those words. But yeah, cheers for that, Marky. That was great. Like, lovely. I mean, that's
excellent.
Exactly what we hope people think. And like, we're glad that people still find us, however they find us, the podcast, and listen to it, that they go away thinking that. Great. Fantastic. Thank you. We're glad you like it. Let us know what you like best. It would be nice to know, actually. I think
who you like best.
Which one of us you like best?
Yeah. No, obviously me.
Of course it's you.
I'm the best.
You know, but like, is it the 80s TV? Is it the music and all of that? You know, we mix it up without any kind of thought about it, but nice to know what people like.
Well, it is. And if you're on Twitter or whatever, because that's how people sort of talk, though, isn't it? Via Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you're on Twitter, follow her if you're not already and stuff, and have a chat.
Yeah, for sure. And message us anything we like out, really, though. And if we don't like, we're still happy to talk about it.
Exactly, I like all. I even the stuff I don't like that you suggest, I pretend I do.
I know. Well, and on that subject, let's talk about this week's film.
Well, yes, this was one I just stumbled across. I think when I was off over Christmas, it was on Amazon Prime. It's called The Vast of Night.
Yeah, it's an Amazon Prime original, which is unusual.
Yes,
because most of that stuff's rubbish.
that could be true. This one's a science fiction film, set in the 50s, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of right up my street. So I'll describe it. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery science fiction written and directed by Andrew Patterson, who's a first-time director. Mm-hmm. Set in the 50s, a radio DJ and a switchboard operator discover a mysterious audio frequency which may be extraterrestrial in origin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gist of it. So stumbled across it, and I really enjoyed it. Like I say, right up my street, this type of thing. Bit like The Twilight Zone or the Outer Limits and stuff like that.
As soon as this started, I thought, yeah, this is Brett all over. But also, you know, I love 50s like era stuff, so absolutely great for me as well. I thought it was very good, especially it's a really low budget in the grand scheme of things for films. It's pretty low budget. It's a first time director. It's an Amazon original. Like I said, like they kind of throw a bit of budget at, you know, like that thing with Michael Sheen in, and you know, they've thrown budget at kind of TV shows. I don't think Amazon originals have ever really found anything that has made a big impact like any Netflix shows have.
Me reading is that this film was made and Amazon bought it, so it wasn't actually them who made the film or anything like that. They saw it and bought it.
Okay, so they bought it to distribute it. Fair enough. But yeah, I thought like for a first-time director and a low-budget film, it looks absolutely great. I loved how it looked and felt. I wasn't massively enamored with the story, which we'll go into, and I wasn't massively enamored with all of the characters, but it had a certain feeling about it, and the way it looked, that that definitely kept me interested, and I could see why you were drawn into it and why you suggested it. You've done the description of it there, and you said it's a bit like The Twilight. So one of the things I didn't really get was that it essentially sets itself up at the beginning as if you're watching. It's like an old style TV and a TV show's on.
Uh-huh.
That's called something like the nether zone or something. It's like a
paradox theater. That's
okay, so it's essentially like it's just a shot of an old TV with an old TV show starting, which is essentially the Twilight Zone, but another name for it. And then you go in and watch that.
Yeah.
What I thought was weird is you don't really, like, that's pointless. They don't really expand on that. It goes in and out of that. I felt like there was more that could have been done with that. That wasn't.
Well, I like the fact that it was just left there, to be honest with you, because what reminded me of, obviously, you're right in what you're saying. You're sitting and you're watching this on a TV, in essence. And throughout the film and stuff like that, it keeps pulling back so that it shows you once again that you're just watching a TV. But I liked it for the fact that it could be the start of, like, an anthology sort of series or something like that called Paradox Theatre. And it's just left in the wind that could feasibly happen.
Yeah,
and again,
I like that.
That was just another sort of, you know, facet of why I was interested in it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I like that.
I get that, and I think that would be a good idea, but I just think they don't really do that, do they? So,
but they could. You see, they could. It's like another director could take this Paradox Theatre thing in a different direction. It could go on to do something else. So it's like opening doors rather than just being a straight film and just played straight, which has been done, you know, thousands of times. Do you know what I mean? They're trying to do something a little bit different, I think, by doing that. It's a risk because it does, at certain points, keep pulling out, you know.
And you just pull it out and you're looking at the TV again, right? And then...
Yeah. So it's a risk because that could pull people out of the story. For certain people, it could. It didn't for me, personally, because that's how... I love The Twilight Zone. I love The Outer Limits. I love those things. So it was familiar to me that it was doing that. Do you know what I mean? It never pulled us out of the story.
I like... But I really do love how it looks. I think
the style of it
is fantastic.
That's the thing that cries out, isn't it? I mean, it, like we said, it's directed by a guy called Andrew Patterson. It's his first film. And it's just looks absolutely amazing. We'll talk about the different shots and stuff like that in the film. But it just looks so good. That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
For not much money, it's set in the 50s. The 50s setting is absolutely brilliant. The 50s cars,
you
know what I mean?
All great.
Which is difficult to do.
The gym
absolutely
and all the
fantastic.
School and all that.
The gym.
Great.
Sure. I mean, well, that's the thing. It starts off in the gym, doesn't it? So we meet like, well, one of our main characters, who's called Everett, who's played by someone called Jake Horowitz. And I know that you said you weren't too sure of him. I thought this guy was classmate. Like, I loved him. For one thing, he said... he was talking in 50s language and stuff like that. And he says, can you razz me berries? So I like that. I've never heard that before.
No,
but I'm going to use it
like
in everyday life.
But he's he's like a college radio presenter, right?
Yes.
He's a cool guy compared to everyone else.
He looks like Buddy Holly, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I like that. I just thought, and it starts... There's a lot of tracking shots in this film where you're following people and you're following things and you're not really sure what you're looking at until at the end it settles on something. So it begins with a great tracking shot. You're kind of watching their feet. You don't really see the heads, right? You're following people walking into this hall. You're not really sure what's happening. There's something going on. They're talking to them about radio and there's... The power's gone off, right?
Power's gone off. And he's been called in. He's the go-to guy, seemingly, for anything electrical, isn't he?
And they keep mentioning the same thing, like, back in whatever, this happened.
Yeah, squirrel.
And
a squirrel bit through
with
the
wires in his mouth.
Yeah. So it's like an in-joke. I think the director had heard a story or something like that. Oh, it was his brother who owned a shop or a bar, something like that, and a squirrel bit through the neon sign. So he put that in the film.
Okay.
So it's like a sort of running joke throughout the thing. But the start of it is like a really long tracking shot through the sort of the basketball court, in essence, isn't it, of the school, which is excellent. It lasts for about 5 minutes, something like that. That's the thing that impressed me. There's long shots throughout.
Yeah,
there's
I
lots
really
of dialogue
like the confidence
kind of stuff.
In that. A lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
and the shot starts. It's really confident, I think, not to do all these quick cuts and quick takes. Yeah. And
that would be the easy thing to do.
You're not watching like a face and a face and a face talking to each other.
Yeah.
You don't even see the faces of the people that are talking. You're following their legs into this thing really slowly. You're kind of immersed in it. And like a lot of films we've talked about, like even The Evil Dead and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're immersed in the film a lot more when you feel you're part of this movement. And
definitely.
And also you don't know what's coming. So you're kind of, you're trying to work out what it is that you're watching and where they're going and what they're talking about, what it, where it is that you're going to end up and all of that, which I think is a very clever way to start.
Yeah, you feel like you're there with the characters, don't you, if it's done in that way.
Yeah.
It's immersive, like you've just said there. That's the thing about it. And it's a difficult thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. The actors have got to be in the right place. People have got to be, you know, where they're supposed to be and stuff like that. It's a hard thing to be doing. And like I say, this director, I think hopefully he's given like more chances to do stuff. You never know, like Hollywood and all that shit. Yeah. But I certainly hope to see like more stuff.
You know, like 10 years ago, or maybe more than that, these kind of films popped up and like, the Star Wars franchise went, oh, we'll give you the next Star Wars thing. With it, not this guy, but, you know, like Colin Trevorrow and all this kind of thing happened. And then they kind of pulled away from that when it didn't.
Disney. Yeah, well, they didn't really, big books behind
they didn't
it. You
fit
know
into the way of working that Lucas and the big studios wanted. And it was a real shame, I thought. And obviously the Last Jedi, which kind of was that, got panned for how it worked out. And, you know, they took away these chances for those guys. And I think that was, if Star Wars can do that, then there's everybody else can follow, but Star Wars kind of shied away from it a bit. And I think that's kind of spoiled the chances for these kind of guys to get that before. But there's some great success stories of indie directors who've ended up getting a big shot at something, you know, and hopefully it's just happened because the style on show of this is from 2019, I think.
That's right, yeah.
The style of this is great. Like, he definitely deserves a shot at a bigger budget and, you know.
Definitely.
And all of that, I
mean, I love Carpenter. It reminds us of that type of thing where John Carpenter would, like, it doesn't matter how much money he had, you'd make it look as big as he possibly could. I think this guy's doing exactly the same thing.
You wouldn't think it was
No.
When you think about the setting, scale.
That's it. If you're going to, for your first film, you're going to make something simple if you're doing it, if you're taking it easy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to set it in 1950s. You're not going to have a sci-fi film. You're not going to have long tracking shots. He's put all this stuff in. It's massively brave, and I think it shows like real talent. That's what I think. Like, do you know what I mean? And people who haven't seen the film, if you watch it, you'll get what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, it's on Amazon Prime. It's free to watch if you're an Amazon Prime member here in the UAE and in the UK. It's free, right? If you're a member, so you know most people will be able to watch it, I would have thought. I didn't love that main guy's performance. I think. But it was probably his character. It was probably a good performance from him. He's a bit of a know-it-all. He's a bit of a hep cat with all the cheesy phrases. And because he's a radio DJ, he has to come out with all of that. There's a great bit where the girl says, like, why do you talk like that on the radio? And you don't
put your radio voice on or whatever.
Yeah, and I really like that because I think that's what that character... I think that's why you couldn't love that character so much, because he obviously had a persona that he projected
on
in
the radio
film as well. But one of the things I didn't love about it, or that kind of disappointed us with it, is, and I've said this before, and maybe I need to get my ears checked out, but for a film that's all about hearing something in the audio, I thought the sound was really difficult to catch the voices and things like that.
Yeah, see, I was taking it struggled. In straight away by... There's this very old song where the film starts. It's like an acoustic, almost sounds Indian, but it's Greek.
Yeah.
The song at the start.
Yeah, the music's amazing, I think. I love the music.
And the sort of sound effects of that noise that they hear on the radio. Yeah. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. So that we've got the DJ, and we've also meet another character as well called Faye, who's played by Sierra McCormick, who is, I think she's brilliant. Her,
absolutely, she was only 18. This is such a great performance. And I think one of the reasons she overshadows every other actor in it, I think she's fantastic.
She's really good. So we'll meet her in the basketball stadium and stuff like that. She's talking to Everett, and she wants to show him, because it's an electrical piece of equipment, she wants to show him a new tape recorder that she's got.
Yes.
So there's this long sort of, another sort of long shot of them two talking to each other and interviewing people in the car park and things like that. And then they go off and they do the jobs. One's a DJ, Everett's a DJ, and Faye works on the switchboard. So she's getting sort of telephone calls and stuff like that.
And that's nice, isn't it? Watching that, the switchboard.
Switchboards? They're great, aren't they?
I love it. I love watching that stuff. I know it's a very niche thing to love, but I absolutely love it. I love thinking about that really analog way of things working, where people still had to go, okay, let's move that from there to then plug things in and all of that. It's very kind of retro and very reductive, I think, from where we are now. But honestly, I'm fascinated. I love all of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know how a switchboard works. Do you know what I mean? I mean, she's connecting, you know, the wires and stuff like that. She's connecting it to different lines, I guess, isn't she? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows how these things work? But yes, I like that kind of old school equipment and stuff like that as well. So, like, as the part ways and stuff like that, Faye's on the switchboard, and she has this very sort of strange noise as a telephone call comes in, doesn't she? And at the same time, the radio show is going on, and it's on the radio show again, and she sort of alerts Everett to the fact that your radio show has been interrupted by this noise. Have you heard this before? Whatever. So they play it over the radio to see if anybody recognizes where it is. Also, at the same time, they're getting strange phone calls from people saying, I'm hiding in me basement or whatever. There's this strange noise. I can see something in the sky.
This is set in New Mexico.
Where all the alien shit happens.
Yeah, and also where Buddy Holly recorded his fantastic songs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I
don't know much about Buddy Holly, to be honest.
Well, I think you would love all the stuff about Buddy Holly. I mean, songs are fantastic anyway.
I've seen the film about him when I was a kid. I mean, I like a lot of Buddy Holly songs. Yes, of course.
In New Mexico was where he went to record all of the songs with a guy in a studio. So I think that's part of this as well, to be honest, with the 50s styling and what the guy looks like, I think is part of it. But so New Mexico is where Area 51 is meant to be.
Yeah, and Roswell and all that kind of stuff, isn't it? It's Roswell, New Mexico, I think it is, isn't it?
It's the same thing, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, it's a hotbed for this type of activity. Let's say that.
There's not a massive, there's not a huge storyline, really. They hear some
It's a very traditional sort of thing that, you know, they hear this noise, they play it on the radio to see if anybody recognizes
it. I quite like how he builds that into those radio quizzes, like, I'm going to play you 30 seconds of something and you need to tell me what that is. And he kind of makes noise
win
into that kind
of
quiz.
Elvis's carpet. That's what he says, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Of course he'd want a bit of Elvis's carpet.
I'd be ignorant. So that's how he plays that noise on the radio to try and find out what it is. And he's not necessarily a conspiracy theorist, but he's happy. He's like, if it gets listeners, I'm up for it.
Yeah.
It's
the Russians, which all these... I'm a lover of 50 sci-fi, and people always think
it's
the Russians.
But these play with that, right? Like, these guys play with the communists and the Russians. The commies are sending this or whatever. It's happening.
Because that was the fear at the time, wasn't it? You know,
yeah, of course. But this obviously, I think, plays with that convention in these kind of old films, which is, you know, another nice little touch that they do it we know it's not that, right? You know from the beginning of this film that that's not what this is going to be about, because that's how it's set up.
Well, it's Paradox Theatre. It's definitely not going to be.
It's not Rusky Theatre.
It's not Rusky Theatre. It's not the Red Menace Theatre.
So essentially, the rest of the film is them working out what this is. People calling up, giving them some information about what it is. There's that brilliant bit where the guy calls up. That's one of the best bits of the film, I think.
That is absolutely brilliant. Where that's called Bruce Davis, and he plays a character called Billy. Yeah. He's got a Morgan Freeman voice.
He's got a great voice. If you're just hearing a voice, it's amazing. Yeah. It's not like traditional like Newcastle. It's not the Legends, is it? Hiya, are you there?
It's not the Legends.
Are you there? Are you listening? Can you hear us?
It's not the Night Owls.
perfect subject matter for the Night Owls, to be honest.
It would be a perfect subject matter with Alan Robson. So yeah, he says he works for the military and stuff like that, and he knows what this noise is because he's heard it as he buried an object or whatever that the military told him to bury. But there's a good bit where he says, "Well, I don't think anybody will believe us," and he says, "Well, you know, it's because I'm black. I think that's why nobody will believe us," type thing. So there's that kind of thing sort of in there as well, which is interesting.
It takes him a long time, right? You don't get that for ages. I think the phone call goes on for ages, and he says, "Well, why have you never told anybody this before?" And he says, "Well, I tried, but you know, I'm black, so nobody listens to us."
And
he says the whole description first, doesn't he?
But Everett goes, I thought that anyway, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it was just an interesting bit to put in, I thought that.
I think so.
Obviously prescient these days.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that, and it's basically them, the two characters, discovering or trying to find out what this particular noise is. Do you know what I mean? What it is.
And then it turns out there's been reports of throwing shitans in the sky and stuff like that. And it gets...
Do you think, Cliff, that you would, if you heard this type of noise, would you try and discover what it was?
No.
Or would you not be bothered?
No, I wouldn't be bothered.
I knew that would be the answer.
I think that's a bit weird. I'll just put the telly on.
Let's hope this noise isn't on the telly.
I'm sure next time I turn the radio on, it won't be there. So,
because it's quite a new one, I don't think we should do like many spoilers or anything like that at all. But what I was thinking while I was watching it was, I hope there's going to be a payoff. Like, yes. I hope it's not going to be, do you know what I mean? Because it's a low budget film or whatever. I thought that there would be a payoff. Because of the shots that we'll see, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I think. But there is a payoff, isn't there, at the end? So that's
absolutely. I think, look, I don't think we should go into all the ins and outs of it for a spoiler, because hopefully people will watch it. And I think it's worth watching.
Definitely,
if you like sci-fi, if you like the 50s kind of style of stuff, if you like a Twilight Zone kind of thing and just want to watch something that's in that vibe, I think you should watch it for sure. Does that guy rings up and tells them this stuff, and then they start trying to investigate it. There's some great stuff while they're investigating it. The other big point, which we won't go into too much detail of, is where they go and see a woman, an old lady who rings up and says, "Yeah, that Billy guy you had on, I know he got cut off, but I know the rest of the story if you want to come round to my house."
And that kind of leads into a fantastic bit of horror where they're driving in the car, where they sort of look up at the sky and stuff, which I thought was absolutely amazing. I loved that bit. I thought that was excellent. So we're not going to go into too much, but this isn't a spoiler or anything, but there's loads and loads of shots which are like 10 minutes long and it doesn't stop. There's one where Faye's on the switchboard and she's talking, she's taking various calls fantastic. And stuff like that.
I love it. So shows great for a quality. I think it's fantastic. Definitely.
And the quality of the acting as well, because she's absolutely, she's just amazing. But the main talking point of the film is this tracking shot that runs throughout the whole town from the switchboard office. It kind of shows you know, the size of the town. It's a very small town. So it runs through the whole town, back into the school where we've already been and stuff like that, over people's heads, back through the school, all the way back into the radio station, which is just unbelievable.
I think it's a so you've got this sort of phase in the switchboard, mm-hmm. and Everett's on the radio. And yeah. in between the two of them, you've got the school where mm-hmm. there's events happening. And they don't want the event to be spoiled by the electricity going down, which they've yeah. said, oh, it happened before when the squirrel chewed through the thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So you've got this, this town's almost in darkness for the entire time. So it's yeah, got this well, kind
it's
of...
It's night, isn't it? It's yeah, all it's at night, isn't it?
And the electricity's yeah. gone down and something. So you've got this atmosphere anyway. And then you've got basically the story moving between her on the switchboard and him on the radio, where she's patching people through to him and all mm-hmm. of that. And what you're seeing at this point is just something moving between those two things. Or that's what it feels yeah. like. It might not be that, but that's what it makes you feel like. Is that yeah. actually, while they're trying to work out what it is, there's something there with her. And then she decides, this thing decides to have a mooch through the city or the town. The
yeah, maybe.
Town.
I mean, I never saw it that way. I mean, I can see how you have. I never saw it as like that. That's the presence or whatever there. I almost saw it as like it's just a sort of vehicle to show you exactly how big the town is or whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And
with
I love
that.
Those. Yeah, I love the you know I love tracking shots like that. I mean, it's unbelievable for like a first time director to game try something like this and to pull it off. It's just absolutely wonderful.
It's just a beautiful like, shot. It's a beautiful amazing. Shot, and it's not rushed. It's not. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in this film that gets an easy like win. I don't think it's very subtle.
No. It is very subtle, and there's also at times where it kind of fades to black and stuff like that. Like
yeah, there's
also
times where there's nothing
risky.
You just hear yeah. the vocal, you just hear the voice of the phone call, or what, yeah. or the noise from whatever mm-hmm. it is that's making the noise, and it's just black for ages.
Yeah, and then it's just a risky thing to do.
Like,
do you know what I mean?
Back up again.
Yeah, I was just like I was just really impressed. I watched it. I like stumbled upon it and I watched it and I thought, you know what? I thought that was class. And
yeah,
halfway through, I messaged you and I said, oh, I found a film and stuff. We should do this. You know, it's got some of the best tracking shots I've seen in ages type thing. My first thought was, tell Cliff about it. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah, and I said, well, should we do it for the pod? Because I'll watch it yeah. and that saves us mm-hmm. having to watch something else. but no, mm-hmm. in seriousness, I agree with you, and I think it's good that, you know, when you go on a Netflix or an Amazon Prime or whatever, you can scroll for fucking 30 minutes
yeah,
before
gone,
you
yeah.
find something that you're like, settle on.
Yeah.
And I probably uh-huh. wouldn't have gone on Amazon Prime and looked for this film. It's not going to be uh-huh. shoved in your face like some of their bigger budget things that they've made themselves. So, like, great. Like, however you found it,
mm-hmm.
thank you for mentioning it, and I think everybody should watch it because it's good.
Yes, it is. It's a fantastic film, I think. And if you love sci-fi, if you like filmmaking, I think as well. Do you know what I mean? You'll enjoy this. So give it a shot, man. Shall I do the quiz then?
They do the quiz.
It's probably shit. You know what? I'm not sure if I've done a quiz like this before, and it's the same questions, but fuck it. But there you go. it's a flea circus quiz, this.
Oh.
Because that's what we do, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know. Which TV show had an episode called Dog by Night, in which a flea called Count Draculite turns a character into a werewolf? What do you reckon? We've done it on the podcast. That's the clue for you.
I was going to say Count Ducula, but we haven't done that.
We haven't
like
done that.
That
yet. It's Round the Twist.
Round the Twist. Oh.
Round the Twist, that's what it is. This will text you, or it'll not text you, because I can't text you with three words. This is in Texas, this question. Which band had a song called Fifi the Flea on an album called Would You Believe in 1966? Ooh.
From Texas.
No, not from Texas.
You British said band. Texas? Oh.
Because you said Texas.
Well, Fifi the Flea that. From an album called What Would You Believe, did you say?
Would You Believe, yeah. You're rocking your brains.
Do you believe in life after love?
I'll put you out your misery. It's the Hollies.
The Hollies.
The Hollies, that. John Hammond, creator of which fictional park started with a mechanical flea circus, is his way into the entertainment business?
A fictional park?
A fictional park.
So it doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist? Gladly it doesn't. Otherwise, we'd all be eaten.
Ichiku Park.
It's the Jurassics of the parks.
Okay, okay.
There you go. Which comedy duo star in The Chimp from 1932 featuring a flea circus?
Is it Laurel and Hardy?
It is. It is. Well done. I'm going to ask you about real flea circuses now. Not like us fake ones,
okay,
but real ones. So in a real flea circus, Cliff, how did they make the fleas look like they were playing instruments? What do you think they did to the fleas to make them look like they were playing instruments? Yes.
I think
because there's two things that I've been reading about flea circuses. There's the original flea circus where it's actual fleas,
mm-hmm,
right? And there's the fake flea circuses where it's just someone saying there's fleas, but there's not. A couple of fleas about the place. It's just a mechanical thing. Do you know what I mean? Like machinery. Like yeah, yeah. And people saying, oh, it's the fleas. So, but there's two different
ones. You can't see them because they're so small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you know that there's a flea circus in Newcastle?
I did not.
No, I didn't either. So how do you think they made the fleas?
Was this an original one or a fake?
An original one, a real one.
I think they did it through elastic,
which is also leads us strangely into another thing about the Beatles, which I love, where John Lennon went, yeah, just like, make the stage out of plastic and then I'll have it yeah, when you finish. When you want all that plastic,
like, what do you want to do with the stage? Plastic's the future, that's where we're going to be at. Everyone's going to be out of plastic.
Have it off, yeah,
so let's make everything out of plastic. And now I can have it when you're finished.
Like, I love that bit where he's left so much.
I think.
Why do you want all that plastic?
He wants it. What does he want it for? Like, really, what does he want it for? But also, exactly, then he calls his band the Plastic Ono Band. Like,
what's he's this got plastic, a fascination with
what's
plastic.
This plastic conspiracy? What's it all about?
Well, I'll tell you what happens. What they would do was they would glue the instruments to the fleas initially, right?
How?
And then, tiny. I don't know, and then they would slowly heat up the fleas so that they would get very, very hot, almost to the point of death, so that they would jump up and down and stuff like that, so it looked like they were playing the instruments. So there you go.
I don't like that.
Last one, I'm going to ask you about human evolution.
Okay.
How have humans evolved? It is. How have humans evolved to rid us of the burden of fleas?
Hairy arms.
You're halfway there.
Less hairy arms.
Just less hair. Less hair.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Arms. For an example,
not just on your arms,
the rest of the body as well.
My arms are still quite hairy, so I haven't done very well with that.
Bald calves,
bald calves, exactly. So there you go. I'm glad to know that you know about the evolution of man.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Is that like why we evolved, do you think?
What I don't think that's why we evolved. Flea reasons. Yeah. In fact, yes. That is why we evolved.
It's what dictates most of my decisions, to be honest.
What, fleas?
Flea reasons.
Or the attraction of fleas?
No, to repel fleas.
I thought because you're such a hairy wolf-like man.
I'm not a hairy man.
You actually want to attract them.
I don't have a lot of hair.
Well, that people can see. I mean, under the universe, there's probably an abundance of hair, isn't there?
Oh,
I don't want to see. Oh, do you shave that?
There you go. No, I don't. I'm not a very hairy man.
You are you not? Oh, well, I was under the impression
it's all concentrated in an area.
What is this? Is it getting a little bit grey down there? Can I ask you that?
On the right knee?
You don't have any of the pubes?
No, that's where it concentrates itself, on the right knee.
Just on the right knee? You've got a very hairy right knee. Do you have any grey pubic hairs?
No.
Do you not?
Hang on.
What, you're being honest now, are you? You've decided to be honest.
Can I be honest with you?
go on. Be honest.
On the balls.
Uh-huh.
I've told you this before, entirely white.
Like entirely
I've got albino balls.
Have you?
Huh?
So it's like a mag scarf down there.
Think it's just when they got a big shock.
I've started finding rather a lot of grey pubic hairs. I mean, I've let myself go down there over Christmas and stuff, and then they've appeared. It's gonna be looking like Castaway with Tom Cruise down there. So obviously, Tom Cruise got a very long nose in this film.
Cyril Sneer.
Yeah, Cyril Sneer. Right, that's the quiz and that.
Okay, well, thank you for that. What about the music? We've got the goods gone.
We've got the goods gone with the new single, Tell Me Lies. And the thing about the goods gone is they were the first band that we ever had on.
Yes, they were indeed.
And so they kicked off this musical escapade.
Uh-huh. And we love them.
We've kept in touch. We do love them. They're great. They're absolutely class. And this is, 101th episode, I think, isn't it?
The 101st episode. Well, thank you, The Goods Gone, for being part of the 101st episode. We appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for listening to all of those episodes, even if you only listen to one. We appreciate it. And, enjoy January. Enjoy the Beatles. Enjoy
life.
The Bastard Night. And enjoy life.
Enjoy The Goods Gone.
Have a good time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.